Would you turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5? Praise the Lord. On our watch night service, I introduced our theme for this year. And that theme was watch. We began talking about watching as far as watching for His coming. That's an upward watching. We preached last Sunday night about watching things inside our hearts. That's an inward watching. Tonight we're going to talk about watching things from the outside. That's an outward watching. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Amen. Could you go back to verse 8 there? You see, I don't see the word watch here. See the word vigilant? That translates the same word that elsewhere has been translated watch. I told you last time I'll say that word, I'll Englishize it, and the word is Gregory. Gregory means watch. And so vigilant here means watch. So I could read this, be sober, watch. Remember what watch meant? It meant fully awake and alert to what's going on. Fully awake and alert to what's going on. Be sober, watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to preach that on watch for the lion. Watch. I'm not talking about the lion of Judah. I'm talking about the evil one. Watch for the lion. Father, help us tonight. Shut up our hearts to truth. God, I believe you're going to reach deep into our hearts tonight. Lord, you're going to speak to us. I believe, Lord, this is going to be a turning point for someone tonight. Lord, for some young person or other person. They're going to catch, Lord, this message of watching out for that wicked one. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want you to imagine something with me, and I really hope you have to stretch your imagination to do this. I hope you do. I want you to imagine with me that you are the devil tonight. You see why I said I hope you have to stretch your imagination. So everybody, all of a sudden, you're the devil. And here's the thing I want us to ponder tonight. Knowing you like you know you, if you were the devil, what would you do to destroy you? Will you think with me about that all over the building? You, now remember, you're going to act like you're the devil for a moment. But you, being you, if you were the devil, what would you do to destroy you? What would it take? Maybe those of us with families, we could ask the question, if I were the devil, what would I do to destroy my home, my family? You say, why would you have us ponder such an odd question? Well, I want us to do it for a minute. What would it take? What would it take if you were the devil to destroy you as a person, to take your Christian faith, to cause you to lose out with God? Would it be, if you were the devil, would he know that to get you to fail, he'd just have to get your eyes on somebody else? How many of you get your eyes on somebody that will bug the daylights out of you? You can't even worship because here... Does the devil know that's how he could destroy you? Maybe it would be to get you to be bitter about something. You know that song, He Didn't Even Shake My Hand, we laugh at it, but it's no joke. I had folks get mad at me because I didn't visit them in the hospital and I never knew they were there. My spirit of discernment wasn't working that week. What would the devil have to do to destroy you? Would he have to get you to thinking that God isn't moving on your behalf? What would the devil have to do? Think about it, young person. Now remember, you're imagining, you're playing two parts here. You're imagining you're the devil, but you know you. Does the devil know if he can get you enmeshed in a certain kind of music, he's got you? Does he know if he can get you to watch a certain series on television with its worldly theme and its supernatural thing? Does he know if he gets you to watch in that and gets you engrossed in that? Does he know he's got you? Maybe it's just some type of worldliness out there. Does he know that if he can get you involved in an online relationship, that he can destroy you? Does he know that? Remember, you're answering the question. If you were the devil, what would you do for you? Would you get you involved in some kind of financial problem you can't get out of? You see, the thing is, most of us know the very thing the devil could do to get us. I want you to think about that. Most of us know the very thing the devil could do to destroy our faith and destroy us as a person. We know it. And I want to ask you the question, knowing the thing that the devil could do to destroy you, I want you to ask yourself, just listen a little bit, I want you to ask yourself the question, is he currently attacking you with that thing? Is he currently, right now, coming to you with that thing? Are you letting him? Is he being successful in approaching you with that thing? That thing you know would destroy you? Whatever that thing is, that is the thing you need to watch out for. Because that'll be the very thing he'll come to you with. You know, Paul said something in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 11. He said, we've got to be careful lest Satan should get the advantage of us. Who wants Satan to have the advantage? For we are not ignorant of his devices, his schemes, his plans, his wiles. You know, I am really convinced that every Christian that falls was not ignorant that thing that Satan was coming with them with would be a thing that would destroy them and sap their faith. Take them out of the security of eternal life. We're not ignorant. We know how he works. We know what that thing is. And I am preaching tonight. You know that thing. Watch. It doesn't have to happen. He doesn't have to get the advantage. He doesn't have to destroy. He doesn't have to divide. Why? Because Paul said we can resist him. If you know what the thing is, resist. First of all, tonight, we must watch because he is a real enemy of our soul. Satan's not a joke. He's real. Look what it says in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. You know, I love that old song. I love to sing it. Sister Hirsch used to sing it. We were evangelizing. And I'd play and she'd sing that. I liked it. I don't know if she liked it, but I liked it. It said, my God is real. How many members that song? Isn't that a wonderful song? My God is real. I'm glad we can rejoice on the fact that my God is real. But I want to tell you something. My adversary is real too. As real as the presence of the Lord has been today, our adversary, Satan, is real. I want you to notice here the word your adversary. This is getting personal. You see, he's not just the adversary of all humanity generically. He is individually your adversary. Now, I've never been quite convinced. I've heard people stand and testify and say, the devil's been after me all day long. Praise his holy. The devil's been after me all day long. You know, 6 billion plus people on earth and Satan decide to spend the day with me?
Ooh.
But while he individually may not be there, he has a plan to destroy me, and he's got plenty of impish underlings that he can dispatch and assign to plague me. And if he doesn't send an underling, he's got a whole world out there that is designed to fulfill his plan for the destruction of my life. And if he doesn't send an impish underling, and if he doesn't use the world, he's even got some people that's willing to help him destroy me. How many's found that to be true? I want you to know this is a personal thing. Peter said, your adversary. You know, I was talking to some of your people just recently and got on these shows about vampires and zombies and all that. And I said, you know, and I did this on a whiteboard. It's really this simple. Everything in the world has either two sources, supernatural or natural. And I ask about these things, whether they're real or not, what would be the source of them? Supernatural. I said, okay. But in the supernatural realm, everything only has one or two sources. Light or darkness. God or Satan. So these zombies and vampires, you've just admitted they're from the supernatural realm. So are they from the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness? And in honesty, they answered, kingdom of darkness. You see, the world wants to make this thing mythical and just something that's concocted from the imagination and just a, you know, just another storyline. But I want you to know, the power of darkness is real. Satan is real. We must watch out for him. Notice the word adversary. Adversary comes from the word anti. That's the first part of the word antidote. And the anti means instead of it being God coming, instead of what is good, it's that which is against you. I want you to know Satan is against your soul and my soul. He's against our happiness. He's against our being saved. He's against our receiving eternal life. He's against our making it. I'm talking about we need to watch because he is a real enemy. And then notice what Peter says. He said, our adversary, he identifies him as the devil. I've preached many times, I don't want to get bogged down here, but the word devil literally means accuser. He's always worked that way. Accuser of the brethren. And the way he stirs up things, he accuses us to other people. He accuses other people to us. He accuses God to us and us to God. I mean, he's just always accusing and pointing out and saying this is wrong and that is wrong. He's the devil. He accuses us to ourselves. You're not sincere. You're not for real. You don't really plan on serving God. He's the devil. He's the accuser. And then Paul goes on and in a great picture here, he further identifies him. He says he's a lion, a roaring lion. Now, we could talk about being a lion all night, but you know the thing about lion, let's simply leave it here. A lion is a predator. Isn't that right? Now, I want you to know Satan is a predator of the souls of men. He's the predator of a person's happiness. He's a predator of your future. He'd like to destroy the future of every one of these young people. He's a predator. And then this real enemy, Peter says, he walketh about. You know, restlessness is always a mark of Satan. Spirits are restless. Satan is restless. They're restless because they're constantly seeking opportunity. He walketh about. You know, I immediately thought of Job, and in the preface to that story, as the story of Job is set up, it says in Job 1 and 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where you've been? And Satan answered the Lord and said, I've come from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. And now he's come to accuse Job to God. You know, Satan is walking about. You know, here's the thing about it. I may be on top of the mountain tonight and feel pretty spiritual. He may be at my neighbor's house right now, but he's on his way to my house. He may be sitting next, don't look, but he may be sitting next to the person down the pew tonight. But the next service, he may be sitting right there at your elbow. He's constantly on the move. He's constantly walking about. Why? Why is he walking about? He's looking for an easy target. He's looking to someone that is open to his attack. He's looking for the weak. He's looking for the right moment. I like to watch those nature films, and you begin to, whatever, whether it's a wolf or a tiger or a lion, predators, you know what they do? They start walking about and they start scanning herds of animals, and they watch. What are they looking for from those herds? They know a healthy animal amongst the rest they can't take. And so what are they doing? They're looking for the weak. They're looking for the sick. They're looking for the ones that stray too far from the herd. And I'm telling you, as a lion that's walking about, that's what Satan's doing. He's looking for those that are growing spiritually weak. He's looking for those that have been injured. He's looking for those that have been sickened by something. He's looking for those that would stray from the herd, because he knows he's looking for that opportunity to destroy. And he knows that those are vulnerable. Hallelujah. I don't want to be all sounding negative tonight, because I'd also like to tell you that while Satan, the devil, walks about, God is everywhere right here, right now. Hallelujah. And while Satan comes and goes, God will stay with us. Hallelujah. He's constantly walking up. You get victory over him one moment, here he comes back again. It was true with our Lord. Our Lord put Satan in his place in the 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. And the Bible said when Christ had gained that victory, that Satan departed for a season. He was going to come again. But I want you to know, however many times he comes and goes and reappears, and here he comes again. We have the promise of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, that if we'll submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee. And the message tonight is we have to watch out for him. He's not an idea or a philosophy or a myth. He's a real adversary of our soul. And we must be alert. Secondly, tonight, we must watch, because he's just waiting for the opportunity to pounce. You see, in this verse, he roameth to and fro, walketh about seeking. The word seeking, he's not just seeking the animal, so to speak, if we're thinking in terms of the picture, but he's seeking the opportunity to take the animal. And with Satan, he's seeking the opportunity to take the person. I know one thing. If we give him the opportunity to lay into us, he will take it. How many's heard that old English proverb, give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile? He's seeking for that opportunity. And if we give him a chance, he will pounce. What is the opportunity? It might be unfaithfulness to the house of God. How many know Satan sees that as an opportunity to pounce? Maybe it's neglect of the reading of the Word. Hallelujah. Choir, you should have let him shout. How many knows when we neglect the Word in prayer, we're just giving Satan an opportunity to pounce? It might be holding a grudge, holding a hurt, a bitterness. It may be allowing criticism to come into our hearts. It may be disobedience to the revealed Word of God. It may be worldly pursuits. But all of those things, Satan sees them as an opportunity, as a lion, to pounce on our lives. But we need to watch and realize he's prepared to pounce if we give him the chance. I don't know why I was thinking about this. I don't get permission. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. But I was thinking years ago when Sandra and I first got married, and little old town in the Neosho, there wasn't much to do. So sometimes we'd go on walks and walk way down to the park. And maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but my wife's terrified of dogs. And Aaron doesn't have a dog. He has a horse that barks. We were walking down the street, and I wasn't really paying any attention. But in this yard, I had a whole bunch of these little yapping dog, you know. kind of gives you a nervous breakdown. But anyway, had a yard full of them. I know people love their dogs. That's great. I'll quit talking about dogs, talk about kids. Yard full of yapping dogs. And all of a sudden, my wife got afraid. And that dog, one of those dogs came out towards the street, yapping. My wife locked eyes on that thing. He's going to bite me. Well, I said, oh, come on, let's keep on. He's going to bite me. I mean, she didn't let go of that gaze. I mean, she had her eyes locked on that dog. And here comes that dog right at her. And I'm telling you, she's just as worried as she can be. And before I could do anything, she reached down and grabbed a rock and hit right there. And I looked up, and the masters are sitting on the front porch. I said, you hit the dog. I said, they're on the front porch. Walk fast. So I just be quiet when she tells me to. But I'm telling you, we need to be that watchful with Satan. He comes prowling around. Lock gaze with him. Tell him, I see exactly what you're trying to do. I know you're trying to bite me. I ain't going to let you do it. Praise God, I got my eye on you. And if you have to, pick up the rock of the Word of God and just let him have it. And see if he don't go, take off. I mean, we let him Now, listen, I've already talked about what a formidable foe and adversary is. But on the other hand, because of the power of Christ, we do not have to be intimidated either. Hallelujah. I said, we do not have to be intimidated. As watchful as the devil is to find the opportunity to pounce on us, we must be just as watchful to catch him at it before he does it. Last of all tonight, we must watch because whom he gets a hold of, he does devour and destroy. Look what Peter says. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He walks, he seeks, he pounces, because he has one desire and one intent, and that is to devour and destroy and ruin. He can take your faith for you know it if you let him. He can turn your heart in a moment. He devours. I've seen young people hardly out of their teens. They're already hard and jaded and empty. And there's a hollowness to their eyes because they've been devoured by the evil. You know, it may sound like I'm just railing against anything, but the majority of the junk that comes across the airways from internet to radio to television is just one more attempt of Satan to get his teeth and destroy and devour. I got to thinking about this. You know, when Jesus was talking about being a good shepherd, and we love to quote these verses. I love to quote them. Jesus said, a thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I'm come that you might have life. But when he's talking about a thief there, in context, in picture, the thief is a wolf. Another predator. And so when Jesus says, a thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy, he's speaking of Satan under the picture of a wolf. He's talking about watching sheep. Now, I know sometimes I think a little bit ridiculously, but if Jesus is talking about watching out because Satan is as a wolf, and a wolf as a lion begins to circle at the circumference of the flock of sheep, if you see a wolf out there, you know, down, I don't know if I haven't seen a wolf do this, but I've seen coyotes when they're kind of sneak up on, they'll get down on their bellies and they'll just behind. I've watched them go from one clump of grass to the other. And if you're looking from a vantage point and you see a flock of sheep and you see this wolf or this lion sneaking around the edges of that flock, do you see that and say, isn't that nice? That wolf's trying to catch one of those sheep alone so he can play with it and have a good time this afternoon. And then when he gets through playing with it, he'll just let that sheep go back to the flock and everything will be great. Do you really think that wolf has a desire just to have a good time playing? It's ridiculous. But people believe that all the time. I mean, what's wrong with the world? We'll just go out and have a good time there. Like the devil's just going to play and have a good time, send you right back to the flock and everything's going to be all right. No, that wolf, as he sneaks around, he's got one intent. And that's to catch the sheep that they're vulnerable and destroy. The thief, you see what Jesus is saying? The wolf, the thief, cometh not. He has no other purpose but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'm also glad that Jesus added to that, but he said, not only did the wolf come, but the shepherds come. And the shepherds come that you might have life more abundant. See, that's the thing you've got to remember when the wolf and the lions prowl about. You also got to remember that the shepherd's about too. And you can call on him. How many knows the shepherd's quick to come to our rescue if we call on him? Amen. Does a wolf ever catch a sheep and then just release it to go back to the flock? No. You see, we can't afford to play games at serving God because Satan certainly isn't playing games in his attempt to destroy us. We must watch. We must watch. Is it the book that I read, the magazine, the site that I visit, the friends that I hang with? We must watch that the predator isn't going to pounce. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Luke, would you mind to help me for a minute? You and Grant, would you mind to help me? Just stand up here. Okay, you stand right there. Face each other. Put your hands up. Right up. Just a little bit. Okay, right there. All right. That's good. These are lions. Be ferocious. Meow. No. You'll be lions here in a minute, okay? In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan described when Christian and the crowd with him was trying to make it down the road, and there's several other things that happened in this story. We're not going to share them. But he said, especially the men too, but especially the women and children became frightened because as they were traveling down the road, they encountered two ferocious lions. They knew were going to devour them. You're going to try to devour me. Reach out, claw, try to claw, but don't just stay right there. Yeah. Frighten them to death. But then the guide said to them, and I'm really abridging the story, but the guide said to them, you don't need to fear them. Just stay right in the middle of the path that leads to the celestial city, and you'll discover that the lions have been chained. And sure enough, it was with fear and trepidation. But as they, no, don't get me because you're not supposed to, okay? As they stayed right in the middle, the lions reached out and tried to devour. But as they stayed right in the middle of the road, because the lions were chained, they were unable to get them. I'm going to tell you, the lion is out there. And if you wander in his territory, he's going to get you. Okay. I didn't have to resist. But I want you to know, if you will follow God, if you'll walk this narrow way of conforming to His Word, seeking His face, worshiping in prayer, the lion can roar, but you're going to make it right past. You're going to make it to heaven. Stay on God's path. Would you come, music? Thank you, lions. Church, we need to watch. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. Aren't you glad Christ has conquered him? Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Thank you, Lord, for your word. May it find lodging place in our hearts. Lord, I'm praying for that one that by your Spirit, they're aware tonight that that's happening to them. They're aware that Satan's coming at them in the very area that could destroy them. They're allowing it to take place. Lord, help them to stiffen their spiritual spine tonight. Call out to you, the Good Shepherd, and say, it's not going to happen. I'm going to submit myself to God. and resist the devil that he might flee from me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I wonder, just in honesty, when I was beginning, I said, you know that thing. If you were the devil, you know the very thing to use against you. I want us to begin to fill this altar and be honest with God and say, God, I realize where Satan's been coming against me and coming at me. But tonight I'm going to resubmit myself to God, and I'm going to resist the devil and believe your word that that lion is going to flee. Would you come begin to fill these altars tonight? Watch! Watch out! That lion, he's there. He's real. Be alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast. Come in prayer and resist him tonight. Come in prayer and resist him tonight. Watch. 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 Resist him. Young people, what about it? You know what thing that is. Resist. Seek the Lord. Submit yourself to God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's seek him tonight in this altar. Watch. Watch. Resist. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless me now, my Savior.